Well, we changed out lapel mics, and the preacher, he don't know how to work anything, so. But what a morning. Several we want to remember in prayer. Miss Johnston, one of our members, ladies, who is in the hospital, remember her in prayer. Several others kind of getting in their last little bit here before school gets started. Remember them in prayer, our church family. What a crowd this morning. And so what if you would, in your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Me and Brother Clark got the opportunity to go down to Corpus Christi and to see Brother Stone. We left out here Thursday morning and flew down there. Well, we drove down there, but it was more like flying, and I was driving, so made it down there. We got to see the building. The building's just amazing. Storefront, right across the street from a brand new strip mall. Just a great location, right off a main road. And just 2,000 square feet. We got down there and me and Brother Clark and got to build the platform, and it looks terrific. I hope if you haven't seen it, you can go on Facebook and see. There's several pictures there on Brother Stone's Facebook page. And got to move some walls around and fill in some door openings and move some electrical around. And it was a lot of fun. And, yeah, we left at 6 Thursday morning. We got there about lunchtime, ate lunch with him, and worked from about 2 to 2 in the morning. And got in the motel about 3, woke up at 7, started working again around 8, and we left there at 12. Got back here about 8, I don't remember, 7 or 8. And so it was a whirlwind trip. And but a lot accomplished. It's amazing what you can do if you have the right tools. And Brother Clark has a few tools, so that was really nice. And so just be in prayer for Brother Stone, and what a blessing. And I know we have a lot of visitors here. We're starting a church in Corpus Christi. And so Brother Stone is out of our church. We're starting that church in Corpus Christi. It won't be a man on the screen. like a lot of the churches are doing today. We start churches by sending other preachers out. And they be a mission for 2 or 3 years. And then they're an independent church all to themselves. And we're not trying to build our kingdom. We're trying to build His kingdom. And I'm so thankful for Brother Stone. I'm thankful for Jason Pugh down in Burleson. We started a church down there 2 years ago. And Brother Jason's doing a terrific job. And looking forward to what God's going to do with Brother Stone. And it was a blessing, absolute blessing, to go down there and spend the time. And but I said all that to say this. If my mind isn't as sharp as it normally is, which isn't very sharp anyway, it's because of sleep deprivation and manual labor. Sissy hands and all. I've got the sissy hands now. I used to have those calloused hands, and now I have sissy hands. But that's okay. We made it through it. We had a good time. And I talked to Brother Stone the first of the week. You could tell he was a little bit discombobulated. No, just a little stressed. And go down there and just try to be a blessing. We're behind him. We love him. And him and Miss Sim, and so be in prayer for them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Familiar passage to a lot of you, but we're going to read these five verses and preach a little bit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, and who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come and to preach from your word. And we do pray this morning as we look at the word and as we think about Paul and being ambassadors as we go throughout this new year, this new school year. I pray, God, that you would encourage us and help us, strengthen us and that we would follow in your steps. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at verse 17, we read this verse a lot. In fact, I read it here last Wednesday night. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we become a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. The works of the flesh, and we won't go read them this morning, but over in Galatians, you have that list of the works of the flesh. And we also have a list there of the fruits of the Spirit. And those old things are passed away. Whatever that life before we got saved, that has been, before God has been erased, those sins have been erased. And we've been given a new nature. Peter talks about that we are partakers of the divine nature of God. Well, how serious is that? We've been a partaker of the nature of God. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, a change takes place. The old nature is squelched, if you would, and put down, and a new nature is put in. Listen, what a great, great experience. What a great place in my life at the age of 6 years old when I accepted Christ as my Savior. And my want to changed. I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. My want to change. I want to please Jesus Christ. I don't always do that, but I want to. I want to do what's right. I want to live right. I want to follow in Christ's steps. I want to follow my Savior. That's because of salvation and what Christ did for me, reconciling me into God. And this morning, if you're saved this morning, you are a new creature, a new creation. I thank the Lord that He saved me. That no, He gave me a home in heaven, yes. But He changed my life here and now as well. I don't have to wait till I go to heaven to receive all the benefits of salvation. There are many benefits I receive now. Jesus said, I came to give life and to give life more abundant. I have that, and I experience that abundant life now. I just think about all the things as a kid growing up. I got saved at the age of 6 years old, and I can remember doing things wrong. Of course, all of us are just sinners saved by grace, and I can remember disobeying my dad from time to time and reaping the repercussions of it from my dad. But it wasn't just my dad that I felt the repercussions from. It wasn't just my dad's discipline that I felt because I did something wrong. But I had the conviction of the Holy Spirit on the inside. That the Holy Spirit would touch my heart and say, you know what, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have did that. You shouldn't have gone there. You shouldn't have said that. And I'm so thankful that to this day, and you know, all these years later, 22 years later, that I still, 32 years later, that I still, I'm trying to do the math in my head. I did all that math the last couple of days. I don't need to do more math. Actually, I was just a glorified gopher, but it was fun. 32 years later, that I still feel that conviction when I do something wrong. I still feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit when I'm not doing right. I still absolutely feel the touch of the Lord when I go to some place I shouldn't go. Whatever it may be, say something I shouldn't say. I still feel that conviction. That 1 John tells us that's proof that you're saved. The proof that you're saved is that there is a conviction, that there is the Lord knocking on your heart and saying, hey, you shouldn't have said that. New creature in Christ. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Been a great change since I've been born again. A new creation. Verse 18, he says, and all things are of God, and who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And if it starts raining very loud, we'll talk real, real loud. But not only are we a new creation, but we have a new ministry. We have a new ministry. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, I was given a new ministry. And that ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. You know, we think about that when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, that when Adam sinned, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We have been separated from God by our sin. We have been separated from God because of our sin nature, the sin nature we received from our Father, that He received from His Father, that He received from His Father. And that sin nature has been passed down from Adam all the way down until the time that Eric Crawford was born in the big city of Bowie, Texas, that huge metropolis just 60 miles north of here. I was born a sinner. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. We are all born sinners, and because we are born sinners, we are born separated from God. We think about that for a moment now. The wages of sin is death. That's physical, correct? Death. Revelation says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. There's also a spiritual death. There is a spiritual separation between me and God. Yes, one day there will be a separation between life and death for me. But more than that, there's a separation spiritually between me and God. A separation because of sin. And therefore, between me and God, before I was 6 years old, from the time I was born to the time I was six, there was a spiritual chasm, a big gulf between me and God. In fact, the Bible uses the word enmity. It uses several different words to talk about our separation from God because of our sin. But thank the Lord that Jesus Christ, thank God He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to reconcile us to God. To bring us back, if you would, to God. It's Jesus Christ that bridges the chasm between God and man. It's Jesus Christ that bridges that huge crack, that huge ditch, that huge gorge between us and God. It's the cross of Christ that bridges the gap, that reconciles man and God by way of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but in nearly every family, from time to time, some things don't go well. And sometimes you'll have a problem take place, a fight take place in a family, and somebody steps in that fight and tries to reconcile the two parties together. Whatever it is, whatever illustration you want to think of or use, God has reconciled two parts back together who were separated by sin. He says there, we have a new ministry. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by what? By whom? Jesus Christ. We have been reconciled unto God by Jesus Christ. Verse 18, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I'm so glad I was reconciled unto God at the age of six. And now, in turn, I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a new creature. I've received the divine nature of God. He has implanted that within me by way of His Holy Spirit, who now abides in me and strengthens me and enables me to do what? To be a witness. To be a minister of reconciliation. You say, well, that's for pastors. No, it's not what it said. It doesn't say anywhere in the, that's a pastor's. Only the pastor's job. It says, those who have been reconciled by Jesus Christ, now have the ministry of reconciliation. So now it is a part of myself and my command from the Lord, my job to reconcile and to be a minister of reconciliation. Stand up, Noah, would you? Come here, little bee. What? Come on up here. Now, see, we don't have a deal high enough, but maybe somebody can. I should have chose taller people, shouldn't I? You see, what happens is, Noah's going, are you going back to school?
Yes.
Where are you going to school at?
Boyd.
Boyd? You going to be a hornet? No, yellow jacket? Yellow jacket. I was close. A yellow jacket? The yellow jackets, they hurt when they sting you, don't they? You ever been stung by a yellow jacket? Then you don't know. I guess, are you a Northwest guy? No? Where do you go to school?
Fossil Hill.
Is Fossil Hill part of what?
Keller.
Keller School District. And what's Keller's mascot?
Indians.
The Indians? You know what my mascot was in high school? The Jackrabbits. No, it gets worse than that. You know what our junior high mascot was?
Bunny.
Cottontails. Cottontails. Here comes Peter Cottontail, coming round the bunny trail. It was hilarious. We got made fun of a lot. And I would say we whooped them on the field, but that's not the case. We weren't very good. We were fast. All right, so Noah and Brandon are going back to school this week, and they're excited about it. So as Brandon and Noah go back to school, you're saved, correct? No, Jesus is a Savior? Yeah, absolutely. I've baptized both of you. You feeling good about that? Right? All right. Didn't hold you down long enough. You're still alive. Both going back to school? Both new creatures in Christ, right? And now you've been reconciled unto God, and now you've been given the ministry of reconciliation, right? So as we go back to school, we go back to work, our jobs, we go teachers, whatever, whomever, all of us, we have been given a ministry. What ministry is that? The ministry of
God.
Of God. It's close.
Jesus.
Okay. For our visitors, we always teach our kids that if you ask the question, if you'll say Jesus, 90% of the time it's right. Good job. I know for a Keller man and for a Boyd man, the word reconciliation is a wrong word. Because I can't hardly say it either. But so Noah and Brandon are going back to school, and you have the ministry of
reconciliation.
There you go. We're making progress. So what in the world does that mean? We have the ministry of reconciliation. What in the world does that mean? Say Jesus.
Jesus.
About 75% right. So as these two go back to school, and all of us, whether you're going to Lockheed to work or you're building a home or working at the mall, working at Chick-fil-A, I don't know where you work at, all of us have this ministry of reconciliation. And Noah's ministry is to minister to those in his school by several things, but one of those is to be an ambassador. We're going to talk about that in a moment. To be a good representation of the Lord. By what? Doing right and living right because you have a new nature inside of you. And we'll say that Brandon is not a churchgoer. Brandon is not saved. And Brandon's at school with you. And so therefore, Noah's going to go to school. And he's not going to tell the dirty jokes. Look at me in the eyeball. Thank you. Not going to tell the dirty jokes. I don't think Noah's doing that. Noah, look at me in the eyeball. Noah's... I'm treating it like it would my son, my kids. I'm like, look at me in the eyeball. I want to see. He's not going to cheat on his test, right? He's not going to, before class, get all the homework questions from his friend and fill them in on his homework, right? 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 Going to do the work themselves, right? Because all the time, what's going on, Noah, is Brandon is watching you. He's watching you. And what you're going to do is you're going to live right. You're going to do right. You're going to do what Jesus would do. You're going to follow in Christ's steps so that you might be an ambassador, an example to Brandon. But it goes further than that. We had this discussion this week with a couple of people. Noah can live right and do right. I know Noah does. He's a good example. Absolutely. I appreciate Noah. And Brandon is as well. We're just using him as a lost person. It's all right. And Noah's going to be that example at school. You know, he's not going to cuss. He's not going to do the things that other kids do. And so there's going to be some questions asked. Maybe he's going to be made fun of him here, you know, sometimes or whatever the case is. That's going to happen as you grow up. It's just going to happen. And therefore, he is being an example. He's being an ambassador of Jesus Christ. But more so than that, he may befriend Brandon. Maybe Brandon has a locker next to him. I don't know. And therefore, he is not just going to be an example, but he is also going to witness to Brandon when he gets that opportunity. Because just being an example and just living and doing right does not win anybody to Jesus. Let me repeat that again. Lifestyle evangelism is important. You can't witness to this guy effectively unless you're doing right. If you're a hypocrite, you can't witness to this guy. Right? But you're going to be the example at school. You're going to do right and live right. And when you get the opportunity, you're going to say something to him about Jesus Christ. When you get the opportunity, you're going to invite him to the youth rally. Right? You get the opportunity, you're going to invite him to Wednesday night class. You get the opportunity, you're going to invite him to whatever, to the church. And you may even get the opportunity to slip him a track. Right? You're going to be a minister of reconciliation. Your goal is to see this young man reconciled to God. Right? All right, listen to that. Thank you. And let me just tell adults, it's not just the kids' job to do that. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. I know teachers that are here this morning, you have a limited amount of things you can say and do in front of your class, but you should still absolutely live right and do right and be kind and do those things and live as Jesus would live in front of your students so that if you get the opportunity, you can be that witness to them. I'm talking about verbally being the witness to them, telling them about Jesus Christ. We have a new ministry. The ministry of reconciliation, verse 19 says, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Can I tell you, holding your hand, the word of reconciliation? This is the word of reconciliation, the Bible. It gives us the gospel of salvation. It tells us about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It's not just enough to be a witness. It's not just enough to be an example. You have to give them the word. It's the word of God, not your life, that's going to save them. Right. Let me say that again. It is not your life, but the word of God that's going to give them the gospel, that's going to tell them about Jesus, that's going to give them the opportunity to be reconciled unto God. And aren't you glad that God was willing to send his son in order that we might be reconciled to him? That's what verse 19 just said. I'm glad God sent his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a sacrifice God made and Jesus Christ made on Calvary for us. What love. Jesus, the minister of reconciliation. Not only are we new creatures in Christ, we have a new ministry. And I'll put this down, next one down, as a new home. Verse 20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, remember who's talking here. Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth. He says, now we, talking about Paul and his protege, we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. As though God did beg you, beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead that ye be reconciled to God. He said, listen, if Christ was standing before you, as though Christ was standing before you, I am an ambassador of Christ. And I am begging you, I beseech you, that you be reconciled to God. Pretty simple message, isn't it? Can I say the same thing this morning? If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, if you're here this morning and you've never been reconciled unto God, you are not a new creature in Christ. Can I say, as Paul said, as an ambassador of Christ, I beg you, I beseech you, be reconciled unto God. Accept Christ as your Savior. The greatest event in my life was when I accepted Christ as my Savior. Second one's probably when I got married. Probably. No, it was. Be reconciled unto God. I hope that in your mind, you can kind of picture Paul as he's penning this, as he's saying this to the Corinthian church. I beg you. He says, I beseech you. I beg you. I beg you. I beg you on my hands and knees. I beg you that you be reconciled to God. Maybe you've been coming to our church for a while and you haven't made a decision yet as to whether or not you will accept Christ as Savior. Maybe you've been putting that off. Can I just beg you today? Make a decision today. Today is the day of salvation. No man knows what tomorrow may bring forth. Be ye reconciled unto God. But as I was given the illustration a while ago, he says, we are ambassadors. Can I remind you, Christians, that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ? That we represent Him? I saw Mr. Bolton on the TV the other day, who used to be the ambassador to the UN. And they gave him a lot of flack, and that was a big uproar. But man, I was very impressed as he began to speak and how well he came across. I mean, just amazing. Probably was a good choice, just based upon the 30-minute interview I saw. I want to be a good ambassador of Christ. I want to be a great ambassador of Jesus Christ. I want to, by way of the Holy Spirit, be the best ambassador of Jesus Christ. I want others to see Jesus in me. I want the world to see Jesus in me. I want my light to shine before men, that they may see my good works and glorify God which is in heaven. Are you a good ambassador? Teenagers, when you go to school, are you a good ambassador? Are you living right? Are you doing right? Adults, as we go to work, are we being a good ambassador of Jesus Christ? Are we representing Christ faithfully? Are we representing Christ faithfully? When I was a teenager, our youth pastor repeated, and even our pastor repeated over and over and over again, it just always stuck in my mind, if you were put on trial, could they convict you of being a Christian? Amen? Are you a good ambassador of Christ? We are new creatures in Christ. We've been given the Holy Spirit. Listen, we have no excuse for not living right. We've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to live right. We've been given a new ministry to reconcile others to God, to tell them, to be a witness to them. But we've also been given a new position, a new home. See, we're already on the other side. We're just waiting for our bodies someday, right? And we have now been sent as ambassadors. Thank the Lord for our new home, amen? But I'm going to be faithful now. I want to be faithful now with what the Lord has given me and the ministry He has given me. To be a faithful minister. Someone has said, and we've said from the pulpit a few times, we are all preachers. I'm a pastor. I've been called a pastor. God called me to pastor. But we're all preachers. We're all ministers. We all have a ministry of reconciliation. Can I just ask the question to our Christians here this morning? When is the last time you witnessed to someone? When's the last time you stood between two and God and man and tried to reconcile them together? When's the last time? I would encourage you, you've been given that ministry. If you're here this morning, have you been reconciled to God? In this last verse, we won't spend much time and I'm done. It says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. I've preached that verse several times on its own by itself. It's a terrific verse, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For He, God the Father, made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us. Isaiah says that He took upon the sins of the world upon His body, that God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Jesus Christ took on the sins of the entire world, past, present, and future, and there gave His life for our sins. Not for sins He had done. He didn't die for sins He had done. He was perfect. He was sinless. For He, God the Father, made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus Christ never once sinned and desire. Never one time did He sin indeed. He had a sinless disposition, a sinless nature. When they put Him up on that cross, He didn't die for the penalty of His own sins. He died for our sins and for the penalty of our sins. He took on the sins of us all. He was the propitiation for our sins, but not for our sins only, for the sins of the whole world. He died for all. I'm so glad He died for me. God, the Bible says in Isaiah, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. God made Him, Jesus, His Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That we might be made righteous. That simply means that we might be made right before God. You see, our standing before God at birth, when we are born in this world, we are born sinners. And our standing before God is one of sin. And because of sin, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Revelation says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. The penalty of sin is physical death, but also hell. I remind you that hell is just as real as heaven. You see, Jesus Christ came and took my sins upon Himself and died on the cross for my sins. And in Him, I have forgiveness of sins. When I put my faith and my trust in Him, and I put my faith and trust in Him and Him alone as my only means of salvation from the penalty of sin, then I am reconciled back to God, and my standing before God, because I am in Christ, is righteous. Paul illustrates it for us in another place this way. He says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul describes it for us in Romans chapter 4 and 5 as imputed righteousness. When I accept Christ as my Savior, I put on a robe of righteousness. When I describe it to little kids, I usually ask them, "Do you know what a balloon is?" The answer is yes. What happens if you blow a balloon up? What if you were to take a G.I. Joe figure or something and you stick in the balloon and you blow him up and he's inside the balloon? Isn't that cool? Nobody's ever tried that. Maybe girls don't, but guys, I mean, we're looking for things to do, you know? Imputed righteousness is when I accepted Christ as my Savior, I was put in Christ and I am surrounded by Him, His righteousness. And legally, my standing before God is in Christ. And therefore, before God, I stand before Him forgiven. Not imputing their trespasses. You see that little phrase in our text? Not imputing their trespasses to them. I'm glad I stand before you today. My sins are not imputed to me. Because Christ, I'm standing in Christ. See, my sins have been forgiven, and Christ's sinless record, His 33 and a half years of sinless record, has been put in my sinful record's place before God. My legal standing before God is perfect because I stand in Him. What I'm asking you this morning, are you standing in Christ? Have you been made the righteousness of God in Him? Are you wearing a robe of righteousness? Have you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been reconciled unto God? Do you know that you know that you know, if you were to die today, that heaven would be your home? Has there been a point in time in your life when you've accepted Christ as your Savior? Christian, this morning, You are a minister of reconciliation. And whether at the job or at school or on the golf course, let's be ministers of reconciliation. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Let's be the best ambassador by way of the Holy Spirit that we can possibly be. Amen. Let's all stand. Hymn 544. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. School teacher, you're an ambassador. Kids, teenagers, you are ambassadors. Adults, we are ambassadors. Let's be, again, the best ambassador we can be for the Lord. Lord, we thank you this morning for your love and your grace and your mercy that you so richly extended to us. We thank you that you have reconciled us by your Son unto God, unto yourself. We pray this morning that you would help us, enable us, empower us to be ministers of reconciliation. And Lord, I pray this morning if there's someone here who has never been reconciled unto you. Lord, if there's someone here who has never put on the robe of righteousness, I pray this morning they would do so before it's eternally too late. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name.